In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This week, the running events for the Olympics in the Olympics have begun. And I don't know if it's by coincidence or by design, but we find in our reading in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we find that the language there is that of running. And we're going to consider that in a moment. But before we do that, let me just remind you of the circumstances of this letter to the Hebrews. The believers there are being persecuted. They're being scorned and humiliated. Their possessions are being taken, confiscated from them. Some of them are put into prison. No one's yet died. But it could happen. And indeed, it probably did. So here we find these believers experiencing these problems, this scorn and this humiliation, and there's the temptation just to give up, just not to continue anymore in this faith. And so the writer writes, and this comes out very clearly in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that the believers are to continue on in the faith. And to do so, he gives picture, as we've already said, from that of running. And to understand verses 1 and 2, you must clearly have in your mind a picture somewhat like an Olympic stadium, with people sitting around, watching and cheering, with a racetrack around, with runners preparing, ready for the race, and others running. If you do that, these verses, well, they're just easy to understand. The way that we'll approach it is by first of all to look at the runners, and then we'll see the encouragement that there is to run. Let us take the runners. And here, as we look at this, we see this runner described in verse 1 of chapter 12. And we mustn't imagine that this runner described here is like a Sunday jogger. Someone who just, oh, I think I'll go for a little jog this morning on Sunday or whatever. No, this is a serious athlete, disciplined, like we see at the Olympics. And we find that he prepares himself. The language is that of preparation. It says, the writer says, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we have this picture of these runners preparing themselves. You know, when you go running, if you think about it even today, if you go to a racetrack, you normally have a few things with you, your rucksack, your water. Well, what do? You take them off, you put your water to one side, if you're wearing a tracksuit, you take that off. And you have to do that. Why do you do that? Because you don't want anything to hinder you. You don't want anything to get in your way or entangle you. Catch around your legs if you've got some strap around you. You don't want anything to get in your way. You just want to do this task of running. And it's like that also for the Christian. He has to get rid of anything that gets in his way as he runs this race of faith. It mentions here sin, and I suppose that sin in its totality. And for us, I suppose that is very obvious. Yes, we must get rid of anything which we know is wrong in our lives. But it could be, as this writer is writing, that he's also thinking about these believers, agreeing with those things that said they're getting scorn, they're getting humiliation, they're getting ridicule. And some of them may well be tempted to think, yeah, they're right, I better just stop this. So there's the temptation there to do this. And the writer is saying here, well, don't do that. Get rid of any such thoughts. Don't listen to those voices. And that reminds us also that we have to be careful which voices we are listening to. Sometimes people do give ridicule or make negative comments about Christianity and about the faith. Let us be very careful that we don't get caught up and start to think that they are right or to listen to their voices. But furthermore, we notice that they are to get rid of anything that hinders them, not just sinful things. If you think of the runner, the one who's training for the Olympics, he is not able to do things that other people can do. Other people may be able to party until 3 o'clock in the morning, but when he's in training, the runner can't do that. Other people can eat what they like, but the runner has to think, the competitive runner has to think about his protein and carbohydrates and fats and get that in the right ratio, and also take it at the right time. And likewise for us, when we're disciplined Christians, and in fact, as we look at the New Testament, there's no other understanding of a Christian except to be disciplined, we find that we are to be careful about what things we do. There may be things that other people can do, other Christians can do, but we are not able to do. And just to give a few examples, it may be that we have friends who are quite able to drink and they're a great deal of alcohol, but for us, it might hinder us. Or it might be that someone can spend a lot of time on the computer right into the early hours, but for us, it starts to cause a problem in our Christian life. If we had young people here, we might mention the PlayStation and ask them, does it hinder your life or not, your Christian life? There may be also friends that drag us down, or we're fine. Other people are able to spend time. Other Christians have no problem being with them, but it causes us, our Christian life, to be hindered in some way. So let us look to see, is there anything that is hindering us from going on in this Christian life, in this race of faith? And furthermore, as we look at this, we also see that he's to run the course. Notice he says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, if we think about these athletes, these runners running around the track, they can't just decide, oh, I don't want to run all that way, I'll just cut across the middle. You know, that you just can't do it. And it's the same with the Christian life as well. Sometimes believers have the idea, well, I can just be a Christian at home. I can just pray and read the Bible and come to church when I feel like it. No, it's not quite like that. When we look at the New Testament, there is a course marked out for us. We are expected. It's understood that the Christian is part of the body of Christ in fellowship with other people, in fellowship with other believers. It is understood that you come and want to learn of God's word, and also that you wish to use his gifts to serve and to help others in the fellowship. And also that he'll give of his, not only of his time, but also of his money, whatever he may have. So we find that there is a course. So we need to also think about the course that we're running. Are we running the right course? Are we thinking we can just do it our own way? But also we notice, how is this running to be done? It's to be done with perseverance. You know, I don't know if you've seen youngsters, I'm sure every one of us has seen young children lining up at a start line for a race. What happens? They all run very quickly when you say go, they run very quickly and then they stop. You know, they have a pain in their tummy, they just run out of energy, whatever it might be. They're not prepared to keep on going. They haven't learnt to. But we're not to be like that. We're to persevere, to keep on going. Just this morning, just before I left, I just saw that one of the runners fell down. But what did he do? He got up, and he ran and continued and won that race. And that's how we are to be as believers, to persevere, to keep on going. But let us come to our second point. What encouragement is there for us to keep on going in this race, in this life of faith? Well, we find, if you think of the stadium, there are people in the stadium. And we often talk about the home advantage, the fact that there are people cheering. And it makes a great deal of difference. You know, I was reading about one runner, but there was some incident on the track. This happened many years ago. She had come from South Africa and she was representing Britain. And then she said, all the crowd booed. And then she said, I didn't feel like winning. I didn't feel like I wanted to win. She was affected by it. But we have people cheering for us. When we look through, we read verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance. Who are this great crowd of witnesses? Who are these people cheering for us, calling out our name to keep on going in this race of faith? Well, surely it's those listed in Hebrews chapter 11. People like Abraham, Moses, Sarah, people like Rahab and Samson, and many others beside. They're the ones, people who have succeeded. They have gone against difficulties, they've gone against hardship, they've gone against scornfulness and humiliation, and they kept on going in this life of faith. They're the ones who are cheering us on. Not, of course, that they literally see us. Not, of course, that they're literally with us, but we look back, we remember the great acts of faith that they've done in the past, and it encourages us to keep on going. But that's not the only thing we have. We also have another runner in front of us. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I don't know if you've done running. Remember, I did cross country. Well, when you have a runner in front of you, you keep your eye on him, especially at a longer distance, and you want to catch up with him. Or if you can't catch up with him, you don't want the gap to get any bigger. I still remember it. You might think that when you run, you've got time just to think about, oh, the countryside or what's around you. Or, no, it's not like that at all. When you're running and you see someone in front of you, I remember it as like some madman. Keep going, Mark. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. And that's how we have to be, to keep on going in this race of faith. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Not get distracted by the world around us. But also we notice he's called author and perfecter of our faith. The writer is referring back to what he's already said about the great high priest who's opened a new way into the presence of God through his life of obedience and his offering of himself. But now he's sat at the right hand of the throne of God. We don't have time to develop this, but the writer then puts it in other words. He says, speaking of Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He points out that Jesus experienced difficulty, scorn, humiliation, pain, and so on. But what did he do? He kept on going. He saw the glory that was to be with the Father. He saw the finishing line was there. If we think of athletes, what gets them through all that pain and difficulty of their training? The thought of the reward of winning. Likewise, we have to remember that Christ has been through all this, and we're to keep in mind the glory that there is to be with the Lord. So let's not concentrate on our difficulties, but look to the glory that there is for us when Christ says, well done, good and faithful servant. Let us just remind ourselves what we said in this passage. We've seen the runner. We've described the runner who prepares himself, getting rid of anything that hinders him or her. We also find that he or she runs the course, keeps to the track, doesn't do his own thing or her own thing. Then we've also seen that he does it with perseverance, keeps on going. And what is the encouragement to keep on going? Well, the crowd calling out our name to keep it up. Don't stop. Keep going. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is in front of us, who has completed this. We keep our eyes on him. As we think about this life of this race of faith, let us keep on going and not stop. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts.